take out your swords. If you don't have a sword, one will be provided for you. No, I think we're good. I think everybody's got one. Digital or solid. All right. Lord, I have your word, and I know it's true.
Lord, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen. Are we leaving that on? I mean, it's cool if we can. We can leave it on. It's fine. I don't need it. All right. So, Lord gave me this message, and I came to Pastor about it, and I was like, well, I don't know how long it's going to take. And he says, take as long as you need. So, I'm like, okay. So, you guys are going to be here for a while. A joke. All right. Today's message is called The Farmer's Truth, and many of us have probably read through this one passage in Scripture so many different times, whether in just reading the Gospels or just learning more about what Jesus was teaching during his time with the disciples. But we probably read this one passage multitude of times. But God showed me something very unique and different about this time, something that maybe we may not have noticed. So I get the wonderful pleasure of sharing that with you today. So what we're going to do is we're going to be coming out of Mark chapter 4. And this is dealing with the parable of the soils. So chapter 4, verses 3 through 20. It's a long section of scripture. We're not going to read it right now, but just get your finger there because that's going to be where we're spending all of our time today. Pastor's up here, he's talking about the Truth Project, and it seems very timely that this message is correlating with what God wants to do with the Truth Project as well, because truth is an aspect of a believer's walk that we all seek. It's pointly going to probably be what brought us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because we wanted to know truth. Okay? We came out of a world of lies and deceptions and deceit, and somebody had shared with us something that clicked. It made sense finally. And that was truth. Okay? We desire truth. We seek it out. Sometimes we look for it from friends, from family, gatherings, places, wherever it might be. Even here at church, right? How many people came here today to get truth? Good. That's what you're going to get. Problem is sometimes we come here, we expect truth, we come here and show up to receive truth, we sit through a worship service, we sit through a sermon or a preaching, a teaching, whatever you want to call it, and then we leave in exactly the same condition we came in. Now, I don't know about you, but the truth that God provides is supposed to be life-changing, is it not? Okay, so how did that happen? What occurred that caused that dilemma to happen, that we left here in the exact same condition we came in? Something went awry. The truth is actually the important part, okay? Scripture teaches us, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, okay? Jesus came to testify to that truth, okay? That's what his whole ministry was. When he sat down with Pontius, he was getting into an argument with him. And he told him, he said, I came to testify to the truth. That's what he stated to him. He didn't tell him what other reasons he was going. What did they call him? What did they want? He didn't care. He had a mission. He had a goal. He was preaching the kingdom, and he came to testify to the truth, which was the kingdom of God is here. Okay? This is the truth that he set out to see. What is the truth? The truth is actually the seed that is being sown. When you see and you read in the parable of the soils that we're going to read through a Mark in just a minute, that truth is the seed that the farmer is sowing. You could see it in many different translations. You'll see people refer to seed as the Word of God, right? Is that not the truth? Is that not our only avenue of truth that God gives us? Yeah. That's why we're supposed to read the Word, study the Word. That's how you learn the truth and the magnetism of what God's plan is for us in His life. His life. Here's the issue. We tend to look at it with a very backwards perspective. We tend to blame the seed for not working in our lives. We tend to think we didn't get the seed that we needed. That's why I didn't produce the crop that I was supposed to. It was the seed's fault. Sometimes you may even go, well, I just didn't get enough seed. I need more seed. There's more in here that I need to get out of it, because then I'll be able to produce the crop. That's not true. That's not what it says. We're dealing with today is the soil. But I want to give you guys a heads up. We're not talking about soil. We're not talking about planting. We're not talking about producing corn and carrots. That's not what this is about today. We're going to talk about farming, but we're not really talking about farming. And if you follow along today, hopefully you'll understand where God's leading us today. So let's start with that parable. I'm reading from New King James Version. Your version should correlate quite similar to mine. We're at Mark. Everybody there should be. Gave you plenty of heads up. Starting at verse 3, moving on, it says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell on good ground, or fertile soil, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. This is the parable that Jesus is sharing. Now, I like when Jesus shares things, because and most people understand that punctuation saves lives. Punctuation expresses earnestness, a desire. I when I read the word, I look at everything, and I look at even the punctuation that's used, the pauses that are made. They're important. We skip over them. We gloss over it. Like, oh, listen. What's that mean? Listen, because it's important. He's telling us something that is viably one of the most important things that we will hear. Out of all the things Jesus taught, this is something important. Listen. He explodes out. This exclamation could be because there was a great multitude. Lots of people. Oh, this. Oh, did you hear what he said about this? And da 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 da. And all this commotion going on. And he's got to go, listen! Get their attention. Right? This could be true. Or it could be because it's equally important. Amen? So we're hearing him explain something to us. And the first thing he explains to us is a sower went out and sowed seed. Okay? And he explains about the sowing of the seed. If we actually take and understand parables, he's explaining things in a parable because the people of this time understand farming. This is what they do. This is their jobs. They do this day in, day out. Okay? They know what seed is. They know the soil. They know crops. They know watering, planting. They know all that. Okay? So he explains to them through this example, so it's something they understand. In order for crops to be grown, seeds must fall to the ground, and then they must what? Okay? He says germinate. If a seed doesn't fall to the ground and die, it will not produce a crop. So that part of the process, it getting into the soil, is part of that planting, okay? So that seed has to find itself in good soil. That's what he's explaining to us. However, he explains, though, that not all the time is that the case. In most cases, that seed does not find that fertile soil. Where does it end up? See, it ends up falling along the path. It ends up falling on rocky soil or rocks in general. Finds itself in the thorns in the thicket. Or it finds itself in fertile soil. Each place that the soil, that the seed fell resolved in a different result. Did the seed change? Was the seed given all the same, it's all the same seed. Let's say it's squash seed. Okay? He's throwing squash seed out. Everywhere that seed fell, was it still squash seed? Yes. Okay, so the seed didn't change. What happened to where it landed changed or augmented its course for life. It either would land on the path. What happens when it landed on the path? The birds came and scooped it up, ate it. It produced no life. None. Nothing even happened. It came and went. It was gone in a flash. It fell along the rocks. Did it produce life on the rocks? Some, but it didn't last long. And as soon as a hot day or some tumultuous weather storm came by, out it went. It was gone. Never given a chance to do what it needed to do. Third, fell on the thorns. Did it produce life? Some, but it struggled. And it didn't get enough that it needed. Okay? But then you have the fertile soil, and of course that's where the most productive life, or the only full life span of the seed, is able to come to fruition. This is all important. Now, we probably all knew this coming into this parable. This isn't new news. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if it is, good. If not, hold on, it gets better. We now recognize that the seed didn't change, but this place where the seed landed is all the point of the problem. Okay? This is where everything turns around for us as far as where we're going. If we look at actually what's going on, it's not about growing a crop. Although the end result is if it lands in fertile soil, it produces a crop, correct? The illustration that Jesus was sharing here really had nothing to do with about the crop. He didn't focus on the crop, did he? That was the end. That was just, here's the caveat to this whole parable. You get a crop. That's just the end result, but that's not what the focus was. The focus wasn't on the crop. It had to do with the soil. It had everything to do with the placement or the location of where that seed fell. If we take an example out of God's wonderful arsenal of things he shows us, I love God's way of gardening. How many people have gardened? How many people enjoy gardening? Don't lie. Okay? If you enjoy gardening, good. Then you are blessed with a gift. Because that is hard work. That is a lot of hard work. It is constant maintenance and supervision, keeping bugs and vermin out. Especially if you're doing produce. Okay? It's tough. There's a lot of work to be done. And it doesn't always pay off. Sometimes you work all that hard, you get nada. I'm not one who likes doing hard work for nothing. That's just in me. I like to work and know that I'm going to get a result at the end. But I look at what God did in the garden. How many hands did he have working the Garden of Eden? Think before Adam and Eve. How many people were there manning the garden? Manning all the crops, the trees, the fruits, the produce, all of it. None. Yet it flourished. Think about that. There was nobody there raking, tilling, planting, doing any of those things. God's design for farming is simple. Because he designed it. That the produce produces its own seed and produces its like kind, and it will fall into the ground in the same location that it already produced. Therefore, the soil is already fertile to grow and protected from all the other things around it, so it does it naturally. How about that? God's natural design, and there's a DVD out there, there's a guy who does this. He actually farms God's way. He lets everything go. He doesn't man, he doesn't run, he doesn't do. Things just do on its own because he's doing it God's way. Imagine that. it's actually not laborsome when we do things God's way. But when we do it our way, it becomes a labor. Okay? When we sit down and we look at what he's doing, he has a scripture that lines up with exactly this point. And it's in Romans 1, 18 through 20. And if you want to go there, more than welcome to. And you can read about it in this context, but for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in righteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Everything God wants us to do is clearly shown and illustrated through his work. There is nothing that has not been shown or revealed to us. Nothing has been made new. It's all been there. We've just been ignoring it. And what Jesus was doing in this parable was really immense, because he was showing us something that he had been doing from the beginning of time. And it's been here the entire time. But all we've done is misinterpret or overlook really what was going on, or really what was actually being done in this farming. When that crop, when that produce rises up to the surface and produces new seed and all that stuff, that God design, what he had created from the beginning, had a huge spiritual significance. But all we did is look at it as, well, it's a vegetable. I ingest this. I eat this. What do you do with these seeds? I don't need these seeds. No, you need those seeds. Those are for the next generation. Yet we don't read what God was showing. We don't read in between those lines. And Jesus is going back and he's showing us the importance of the soil and what has to happen. The actual process of what has to happen. And again, it's not about the crop. It's not about what's coming out of the soil. That's not what he's interested in. Now, here's the coolest part about this parable. This is one of the few times where Jesus actually sits down with the disciples, which he does all the time, but this is one of the documented times, of where he's going to sit down with them, and he's going to explain to them what this parable actually means. So we actually get a cool little illustration from Jesus himself that says, hey, by the way, in case you were wondering what this all meant, let me explain it to you. Let me splan it to you. I'm going to splan it to you. Starting at verse 14 in Mark again, he explains. And I am skipping that part in between, but we'll get back to that in a minute. It says, the sower sows the word. Truth. Right? We agree? Sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, where they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away it was sown in their hearts. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Where did that seed get planted? Where did it say? Read it again. It's important. And these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Ruh-roh. That is the very most important part of this entire explanation. That truth gets sown where? In your heart. It isn't a head faith. It's not knowledge. This is not a knowledge database. It's not a race about who knows more about Jesus. It has nothing to do with how much you know. It has everything to do with how much of this is in your heart. Now, let's take a second and explain, where was this located? Where did the birds come and take this away? Along the wayside, right? On the path. Was this not still sown into their heart? So what is Jesus correlating the path to? The condition of your heart. See, every illustration from here on out is not dealing with the landscape or the soil. It's dealing with the condition of your heart and how receptive you are to His Word. So if your heart is in a condition that falls along the path, don't complain because Satan's taking away that truth before it even enters in and you leave church unchanged. That's not Jesus' fault. That's your fault. Because you didn't prepare your heart to receive His Word. You're satisfied or content with being on Easy Street. Which, by the way, let me give you an illustration of what standing on the wayside is. Do you know when the farmer sows the seed, right? Where is he standing? He's on the path. He's on the path. So a lot of believer come standing right there because they see, here's Daddy. I'm as close to God as I can get. They want to be near God. They believe that by being close to Him, I'll be okay. Now, babes, we expect that. That's an expectation from babes. But from what Jesus is preaching and teaching here about this parable, He's not talking about babes. He's talking about producing a crop. Who's He expecting to produce crops? Us. Okay? So if you're not a babe and you're responsible for the condition of your heart, He's looking at this and going, if you're standing on the path, all you're looking for are hand-me-outs. Because all you're going to get is all that extra that just flows over out of the bag. But you're never going to do anything with it. You have no intentions because you're just there to be close to Dad. And that's what He's calling out. Not only does Satan steal that word and steal that truth out of you, but the condition of the heart is exposed because you're never getting truth, but you're still running on the intentions that you're in a position that you will eventually produce fruit because you're getting all this seed and you're next to God. So that's going to benefit you eventually. But the truth that Jesus revealed is that you will not produce fruit. You will not produce a crop. Then He goes on to explain about the seed on the rocks. And He says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness or joy. But they have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, this is key, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. What's God saying here? Again, the rocks, we now know because Jesus revealed with the previous example that He's not talking about actual land, He's talking about the condition of our heart. So now He's talking about those who have a heart of stone. He's talking about people whose hearts are callous towards the things of God. Do they receive that truth? Yeah, they hear the word. They hear the truth that's coming out. But because the rock is hard, or your heart is hard, it cannot take up root. That means you're resistive. Here's the issue with the people who have a stony heart or a heart that's callous towards God. Because those roots aren't going to take up root, that word will come to you and you'll receive it and you'll go, oh, amen, amen, brother. That's a good word. I'm going to take that. I'm going to meditate on that and I'm going to let God do His thing. But if your heart's callous towards God, what ends up happening? You, because you go and, oh, oh, that's a good word. Then you're saying, oh, I'm going to receive that word in Jesus' name. But your heart isn't right. You're going to still receive those wonderful trials and tribulations of those who actually allow it to take root. Okay, and I was talking to Mike about this a couple days ago in discipleship. And there's an importance about the plant having a root. Because when the storms come, oh, but they will, because you're claiming that you received His word and its truth into your heart, that means you're going to get tested. So now that testing is going to come in the form of a storm or a tribulation in your life. But if you have no roots, down you go right away. The roots are important because they give you stability to blow and bend. Or you could be like a cedar, having such a wide, vast root system, such a large trunk that we can drill a hole in you. And you still march forward in Jesus. See, He's warning you, because if that's your condition of your heart, you're setting yourself up for a big cataclysmic fall. Did He not say in Revelations, be you either lukewarm or be you either hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. He doesn't want you to be in that condition. That's not His heart's desire. Because being in that condition is devastating. And God was sharing with me when Pastor was up here talking about letting our hearts be open to what God wants to do. He gave me an illustration about this exact scripture about be you either hot or cold. I'm going to do a practical example with you. And this deals very much so with this passage. See, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, according to Luke, right? And now we're encouraged to speak what? Life and truth, right? That's what we're encouraged to do. Now, how many people go around speaking death and destruction? You don't want that, right? Because you know if you speak it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to reap it, right? But what many of us do is we go, well, I really don't have anything good to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all. How many people live by that motto? No? Everybody doesn't live by that motto? You don't go by that? You're speaking life every day, 24/7. 94, you know, all the time. You're going all over the place. Everything out of your mouth. Life, life, life. No death. No, I don't speak death. I don't speak destruction. But I'm always speaking life, right? I highly doubt that. But what God wanted to show me was, then hold your breath for as long as you don't speak life. What's the end result? See, not speaking anything is equal to death, because that's like saying you're lukewarm. You're just stuck in the middle. Everything. We should always speak life in every situation, no matter what. If I don't have anything to say, praise Jesus, I'm just going to celebrate Him. Doesn't matter. I don't have anything else to say. Well, then guess what? I'm just going to celebrate God. Why? Because I'm speaking life. Because that's what I was born to do. And that's what my condition of my heart wants me to do. Because the more I speak life, the condition of my heart, or the soil, gets aerated, gets aggregated, receives all the nutrients, receives all the life-giving essence that it needs to do what? Produce a crop. It's all about the condition of our heart. Back on track. Now we move over to the next one. And he says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in, and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The thorns are basically things that have preceded Christ. And this is really, again, going right along with what Pastor was hearing from God. If we come in a condition, and our heart's in a preconditioned state, and we go and we receive more word and truth, but we haven't dealt with our previous condition, you're allowing the seed to fall into thorns. And what the result is that previous condition It's not Satan. Satan steals it away on the path. This isn't Satan now. This is your own lack of maintenance in your walk to go to the cross and deal with things that have been dealt with. And because you're not willing to go and go to the cross and deal with them once and for all, which is really exactly what Pastor was sharing with us, you're actually enabling yourself from being able to produce fruit in your life. You're hurting yourself. Those thorns are always a resolve of something that's inflicting pain upon you. It's always against us. The thorn is against us. So it's not an attack of the enemy. No, it's not. That attack of the enemy came when you were a heathen. That happened a long time ago. But when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you came to the cross and you nailed your flesh up there and you said, okay, I'm done. But then you're not producing fruit. The word's being sown. Nothing's wrong with the seed. We all agreed. The seed's not the problem, right? So the seed's going to do what it's supposed to do. So if I'm having that problem, it's not because of, well, Jesus didn't give me enough seed. Or I didn't get enough life. I didn't get enough this. No, it had nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that you haven't brought your carcass to the cross. And the problem that we always run into with the thorns, and this is the one that I honestly can say that I appreciate the revelation Jesus gave me on this, but at the same time, it's so just earth-shatteringly sad. I can't put any other words on it. I'll read it again. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. What God was showing me with this is that these are the ones that get so close to producing that crop. They get real close, but they don't come to fruition. They're the ones that fall hard. They're the ones that fall for sins that are just too extreme to let go. These are the people that are ministering the word of God day in and day out and then falling due to sin. That's who these people are. And the only reason is because they didn't go to the cross and deal with it and put it to bed. And there was a crop ready to sprout out. It's sad. It's terribly sad. And it's not because of the enemy. It's because of us. It's because we get in our own way. Because we'd rather go on preaching and receiving truth and going through and saying all the good things and the right things to make people's ears whistle. But when it comes time for that crop to produce, it doesn't show up. And that tells a lot about the condition of the heart. But now we get to the good part. Sorry about all the gloom and doom, but it is the word of God. But these are the ones sown on good ground or fertile soil. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Real simple. We hear the truth, right? We accept it into your heart. And the meaning that it has for your life, which, by the way, some people forego that. They hear the word, they accept it in their heart, but they have no idea how it applies. That's important. You need to apply. Application, word without application means nothing. That's not faith, okay? All right? So, but once that seed falls to the ground and germinates or dies, okay, what does that illustration do? That means, guess what? When that seed falls and it dies, that's a Christophany. He's given us the word, and his provision for everything that flows from it is because he paid the price. So all we have to do is in like manner do what? What are we supposed to do? Die. Right? Die daily? Isn't that not take up your cross and die? Are we not encouraged to do that throughout scripture over and over again? What's the point? The point is we have to surrender what we want. See, fertile soil There's nothing else impeding. It's loose, it's enriched, it's ready to receive, but it's also surrendered itself to any other things. It's not going to be receptive to any kind of other elements. And one of the things that was really cool about that Eden Project, and the guy who was showing his soil, it was so rich that weeds couldn't grow. They couldn't. The soil was too loose. It couldn't. If something got in the ground, all you had to do was just pick it up and go, dink, and it was done. And there were barely any weeds because it was overflowing. It was overflowing with nutrients and richness that the weeds, it drowned them. They would be drowning in the water that's in the soil. Think about that. How incredible is that? Again, we're not talking about soil. It's not what it's about. Once that happens, when we get to our heart being in that condition, that's when we will produce a crop. And that guarantee of that, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Take it to the Lord. Say, Lord, my heart's prepared. I'm ready to receive this crop. Your word said, some 30, some 60, some 100. What am I worthy of? But before he went into this, Jesus gave us some truth. In 11 through 13, he sheds the truth. And he says, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven to them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of them? This parable's weight is a gravity that is higher than any other parable because he explains so explicitly that if you don't understand this, you won't understand any. Because this is the building block. This has got so much influence and potential. And yet we gloss over it. So what did he give then? What was the truth about the parable? Well, the first thing he says is, the secret to the kingdom of God was given to you. Right? All he preaches throughout all of his time with us is the kingdom of God. And he revealed the secret right here in his explanation to the disciples. What's the secret? The secret is, the condition of your heart needs to be one of good soil. That's period. There is no other expression elsewise. What else does he say? It's kind of in its own nature. When you produce a crop, what are you doing? In light of the kingdom, if you produce a crop, that means you have expanded his kingdom. Right? Okay. Making sure you guys aren't lost yet. After that, he paraphrases Isaiah, which is very interesting because people get all wrapped up about that. Jesus knows what to do. He knows how to handle the word of God. He knows exactly what needs to be said and how it needs to be said to express his point. So he uses a paraphrasing of Isaiah to explain why the parables are used. What is the importance of this? Seeing they may not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest they should turn and their, what? Sins should be forgiven? Jesus is showing us that, guess what? Just because I go and I speak in parables, there's a deeper truth to that meaning and there's something deeper to be heard, but I'm going to give it to them in parables because I want to create thirst. I want to create thirst in their lives so that they would turn and their sins would be healed and they would be forgiven. See, how do you create thirst? Jesus was opening up a huge, huge challenge to the disciples about how to go and expand the kingdom of God, because you can easily become just like those who were religious and preaching their laws in the streets, trying to convict other people that they were wrong so that they would turn away from their wicked ways. Jesus just contradicted it all in one statement. In one whole statement, he wiped it all away. And then followed it up by stating that if you understand this, you understand them all. Everything that Jesus preached was the kingdom of God, right? We all know that. This here was so important, and why he said listen in the very beginning was because this part was a complete explanation of how kingdom expansion works. See, we always talk about how to expand the kingdom of God, right? That's what we're about here, right? Are we not about expanding his kingdom? We should be. If we're not, you're in the wrong place. Because here, that's what we're about. We're about expanding his kingdom through love. But how do we do that? Well, here he explains again. The position of a person's heart determines the outcome of how they will receive the word of God, which also determines whether or not they'll yield a crop. So everything about kingdom expansion has everything to do with each and every one of you here, and more importantly, has everything to do with the condition of your heart. See, the facts are, Jesus wants to use everybody. He didn't pick and choose. He wants everybody. He wants everybody's heart. That's why he died for everybody. He paid an ultimate price, a sacrifice that nothing else could ever come or make that would give us the privilege of having what we have. Okay? So because of that, we're all called to that same position. Call it what you want. And that position is, you are called to go and do what? Preach the good news. Laying on hands. What is this? Is this some ministry that we need to start? No, it's not a ministry. This is called expanding the kingdom of God. That's all he did, was give us every outlet and tool we needed to know how to expand his kingdom. Because until he comes again, what are we to do? Expand the kingdom of God. That's it. There is no other mission. There is no other mandate. We need to expand the kingdom of God here. We need to expand it in the neighboring nations. We need to expand it in other countries. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until he returns. So our heart condition is the only thing that needs to change. The bottom line about this entire thing, okay, and take everything and put it together, and I ask, and I just really, really want to encourage everybody, don't just listen to what I'm saying and take it as gospel. Yeah, it's all right out of one passage of scripture. Go study it. I challenge you. Take what I'm saying and put it before the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you. Where's my heart condition? Is my heart here? Am I on the path? Am I on the rocks? Am I in the thorns? Where am I? But your desire, your heart's desire should be to be fertile soil. You should be ready to receive that word and do something with it. There's a song that Jesse played. I'm going to take a second real quick. And she played it for me, and I just bursted out laughing. And as funny as I thought that song was, now it's becoming like my marching orders. Because the guy is just so excited about going and getting used to God that he yells in the song like, I want to do something! And I'm just like, oh, it's so cheesy. I can't stand it. But I want to do something. I have fertile soil. I want to be used of God to do something. And to do something is to produce a crop. And the key here, and this is the important part, and Pastor did this illustration a long time ago, but it's so important that you produce like kind. When you produce a crop, the seed that comes out of your life, the truth of your life, the word of God that was in you, the truth that abounds in your life, that overflows out of you into a crop of more seed that falls to the ground and produces new life. That's no different than what Jesus did when he grabbed 12 men out of their jobs, poured into them truth, and let them loose on the world so that they could set it free. See, that's why this is important. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about you producing like kind. And here, that's all we want to do. We want to produce a like kind of people that love people, regardless of their sin, regardless of what they've done, regardless of anything that's come against them, because guess what? That's what Jesus did for me. And if I can give that to somebody else, I'm going to do that. But the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if my heart is in the right condition, because anything else will be exposed the second I step foot out into the world. They will call you out. Hear me. They will call you out. So today, you hear it now. Get your heart clean. It came without me even having to preach it. It came by a word of God. Get your heart clean. The simple truth of this teaching is, what crop are you yielding? See, the fruit of our lives is supposed to be a tree of life, according to Proverbs 11:30. We're supposed to produce like kind. If we're not yielding a crop, then we're not good soil. We are receiving the word of God in thorns or among rocks. We're not maintaining our ground so that when the word comes, we're ready to receive it. Be ready in season or out of season. Oh, and by the way, today should not be the only day you receive the word. Remember, he used a donkey to send his word. We need to prepare our hearts every day to receive his word, because once we receive it, it does not return void. It will produce a crop. And this is what God wanted us to learn. This is what he wanted us to hear today, so that we can finally, as a whole, not just Pastor, not just Dan, not just Ken, but as a whole, expand the kingdom of God for his righteousness and his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
One of the things I do with the readers is I ask them to send me a copy of the word. I've been so busy. He asked me yesterday.
Yeah.
And I still didn't have it. I had no idea what God had laid on